Offer valid on standard browsers, U.S. only.
When I heard about Date My Age, I thought, really? But there I was in my empty, quiet house, my laptop on the kitchen counter, and I typed in my name. Looking for a man between the ages of, 40 to 60? Sure, why not?
Date My Age is different. With verified profiles, you can feel safe and secure to explore meaningful connections with interesting and mature singles.
Date My Age made it really easy. I could join and view online profiles for free. All of a sudden, my empty house wasn't so quiet anymore. I got so much attention, it just made me feel seen and alive. Date My Age helped me start a totally new chapter in my life.
Find a friend, a lover, a partner at Date My Age. Get 60% off when you join at datemyage.com today. That's datemyage.com to connect with thousands of singles worldwide. datemyage.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hi, I'm Terry Schmidt, a registered dietitian and host of On Nutrition, a podcast for Mayo Clinic where we dig into the latest nutrition trends and research to help you understand what's health and what's hype. There's a lot of wild stuff out there, so we'll be keeping it science-based, research-informed, and practical. Mayo Clinic's On Nutrition, new episodes every other week, wherever you get your podcasts. This episode is presented as a respectful companion to an existing narrative, an exploration that walks alongside, rather than oversteps, the boundaries set by the original author. We venture here not to infringe on any copyrights or claim ownership of another's creation, but instead to illuminate its world with additional commentary and contemplative layers. Every care has been taken to ensure that we remain faithful to the spirit of the material, honoring its intellectual property rights. We do this in the hope that the experience becomes richer, more nuanced, and more meaningful, without violating the essence of what has already been crafted.
Episode 10, Visions at Vinzon's Hall. There are places in this world where time and silence weave together into a tapestry that feels alive with possibility. Not the bright, pleasant possibilities of a spring morning, mind you, but the sort that lurk in the corners of your vision after midnight, beckoning with crooked fingers and hollow eyes. Even the mist itself is asleep on the wings of time. It's in these in-between places, where laughter echoes just a little too long, where walls hold secrets older than any living memory, that you sense the world is bigger, darker, and stranger than your science and reason might admit. Vinzon's Hall, perched within the storied campus of the University of the Philippines, Diliman, is one such place. By daylight, it's a student center, practical and unassuming. A locus of debate, intellectual fervor, political organization, and academic pride. But scratch the surface and listen closely. You might hear the low thrum of something else, something that stretches back across decades of tumultuous history. At certain moments, if the air is right and your mind is open, the veil between our familiar realm and something older, less tangible, can grow perilously thin. When that happens, logic's armor cracks, and all that remains is a trembling heart and questions that no textbook can answer. I am Mark, and you're listening to the True Philippine Ghost Stories podcast. Today, we'll step into a narrative that challenges the fortress of skepticism and rational thought. Our tale, Visions at Vinzon's Hall, originally appears in the first volume of the True Philippine Ghost Stories series, between pages 50 and 54. Written by Joel Pizalud, it's a brief but chilling piece that captures an encounter so unsettling that it forces one to reconsider the firmness of what we call reality. The protagonist, Joey, is a rationalist to his core, an intellectual titan who laughs at superstition. But reality, as we know, doesn't always care about what we believe, and sometimes the darkness that stares back at us refuses to be reasoned away. To truly understand the events that unfold within Vinzon's Hall, we must first understand the place itself. The University of the Philippines, UP Diliman Campus, has long stood as a fertile ground for the cultivation of the Filipino intellect. Founded in the early 20th century, UP has been the stage for countless academic debates, political movements, artistic breakthroughs, and cultural renaissances. It is a place simultaneously grounded in the traditions of Southeast Asia and shaped by the global currents of intellectual exchange. Within its halls, minds from different social strata meet, fuse, and sometimes clash, forging a community that prides itself on independence of thought and the fearless pursuit of truth. Vinzon's Hall, named after Venceslao Vinzons, a patriot, journalist, politician, and war hero who fought against the Japanese occupation during World War II, stands as a testament to bravery and intellectual courage. Venceslao Vinzons was a brilliant orator, a figure who symbolized resistance and sacrifice. The building that bears his name is, in many ways, more than a simple student center. It is a space that echoes with the voices of student leaders, activists, and thinkers who have shaped the cultural and political landscape of the Philippines over generations. It is a building anchored in history, its walls metaphorically stained with the ink of manifestos, the cries of protesters, and the nervous hopes of freshman students. Such a place, you might think, should be a haven of reason and enlightenment, and in many ways it is. But universities, especially old, storied ones, are not immune to the quieter whispers of legend and lore. In the Philippines, a nation with deep ties to folklore and superstition, ghost stories find fertile ground in dormitories, hallways, libraries, and bathrooms. In the Middle Ages, the elemental realm had such fratres, libraries, and bathrooms. These tales become part of the unofficial curriculum passed among students over late-night coffee and restless midterm cramming sessions. They are offered half in jest, half in fear, and entirely with respect to mysteries that refuse to die. Enter Joey, a 23-year-old student studying philosophy and political science. He isn't just any ordinary student. He's a Dean's Lister, a star pupil, a man who admires Nietzsche and Engels with equal fervor. Joey's intellect, honed to a razor's edge, serves as a shield against what he perceives as the nonsense of the supernatural. He often scoffs at the folklore that drifts around campus like old cigarette smoke. To him, ghosts, apparitions, and restless spirits are relics of a bygone mindset, remnants of a less enlightened era. Joey's skepticism is not uncommon, especially among those who have tasted the fruit of critical thinking. In a world where empirical evidence is king, and superstition is dismissed as a sign of intellectual weakness, Joey stands confident. He sees himself as part of the vanguard of modern reason. He admires Nietzsche's intellectual audacity and Engels' socio-political insights, delighting in the demolition of old gods and outdated beliefs. But Joey, books are the tools of his craft, and he wields them like a hammer against the anvil of reality, forging a worldview unblemished by the irrational. He believes himself open-minded. Of course, he would say so. He's willing to entertain myriad theories, so long as they come vetted by logic and reason. But here's the catch. Being open-minded is easy. When the topics fit into tidy boxes and academic discourse, it's harder when the challenge emerges from the shadows, whispering old truths into your ear in a language you can't quite translate. Our story takes place on a Saturday afternoon, ordinarily a time of leisure. But on university campuses, weekends can be as busy as any weekday, filled with student activities, political forums, or extracurricular gatherings. Vinzon's hall is packed. The air hums with conversation, as if an invisible tunes simultaneously. Sunlight filters in through the windows, illuminating dust motes that dance lazily in the heat. In the Philippines, the humid air can cling like a second skin, and in a crowded place, that humidity compounds, thickening the atmosphere. This day is no different. Students come and go, some engaged in heated debates about current events, others poring over notes for an upcoming exam. Some are merely chatting, killing time before heading off to the next meeting, the next meal, the next moment. Among this crush of humanity is Joey. He has stationed himself in the lobby, struggling to focus on a work by Friedrich Engels. Imagine him there, brow furrowed, back straight, posture projecting intellectual superiority. But the noise is too loud, the presence of so many unfamiliar faces too distracting. He is waiting for Raul, a friend who is late. Minutes crawl by, and Joey's irritation mounts. He prides himself on his intellectual composure, but even the mightiest of minds can be undone by mundane inconveniences. After some time, Joey gives up on this environment. He gathers his belongings and heads to the second floor, where he hopes quiet solitude awaits. Stairwells echo differently when you ascend them, seeking refuge. Each step Joey takes feels like an incremental escape from the tumult below. On the second floor, the corridors are indeed quieter. The voices from downstairs become a muffled whisper behind him, like a distant radio station fading into static. He settles into a corner, his corner now, and reopens his book. The presence of Engels reassures him. Theory is steady and unyielding, unlike the chaos of human chatter. He drinks in the words, feeding his intellectual hunger, allowing his mind to sink into the comforting embrace of structured argument. Nothing can disturb him here, he thinks, but reality is a trickster, and comfort is often the prelude to shock. Just as Joey's mind glides into that familiar rhythm of reading and comprehension, something interrupts. A sound. An odd, deep, ethereal sound, as the original story describes it, wafts into his consciousness. It drifts from the men's comfort room nearby, a place that should harbor only the mundane noises of flushing toilets and running water. Not spectral murmurs. Joey tries to ignore it at first. Perhaps it's the wind, or the old pipes, or a couple whispering in hushed tones, seeking privacy. But the sound doesn't quite match those explanations. It has a quality that defies easy categorization. There is a resonance to it, a density, as if someone or something is breathing words into the air through a veil of another time. The sound is unsettling, like a distant moan carried on invisible currents. This is Joey's first test. His rational mind attempts to mold the unknown into a familiar shape. His heart, meanwhile, thrums a bit faster. If you've ever been alone in an old building, you know the feeling. You hear something you can't explain. You tell yourself stories. Just the pipes. Just the wind. Anything but what your primal instincts might suspect. Just then, Raul appears, emerging from the same restroom, Relief washes over Joey. He asks Raoul if he encountered anyone inside, hoping for a mundane answer, a reason to dismiss the sound entirely. But Raoul shakes his head. He was alone. This is the second test. Now, faced with the fact that there should have been no one else producing that eerie whisper, Joey's rational mind scrambles for another explanation. Before he can form one, Raoul mentions a local legend. A young co-ed who supposedly ended her life in one of the comfort rooms at Vinzon's Hall. This rumor, Raoul says, has floated around campus circles for years. Joey tries to laugh it off. The ghost stories are, in his view, childish fantasies. But a seed of discomfort has been planted in the rich soil of his doubt. Joey's skepticism remains intact, but it's starting to show hairline fractures. The only way to prove the absurdity of these claims, he thinks, is to face them head on. He decides to use the bathroom himself, as if challenging the universe to show its hand. Rationality is a stubborn companion, and Joey refuses to be cowed by superstition. He enters the cubicle. The air inside is thick. Not just with humidity, but with something else, an intangible tension. He finishes his business, and that's when it happens. A strange pressure on his head, as though invisible fingers are sifting through his hair. A chill runs along his nape, incongruous with the summer heat. The sensation is intimate, invasive, and undeniably real. In that small tiled space, Joey's fortress of reason is under siege. He tries to resist the implications, but curiosity forces him to look up. That single decision marks the point of no return. There, hanging from what can only be described as the ceiling or some invisible perch, is the figure of a young girl. Her face is contorted, eyes bulging, the terrible mark of a life ended by a noose. Her feet, pale and cold, had been the ones brushing against Joey's head just moments before. Joey wonders what they saw now. Frozen by shock, he meets her gaze. The dead eyes seem to plead, or perhaps accuse, as though asking him, "Do you still not believe?" This is the climax. In that moment, all of Joey's intellectual armor crumbles into dust. What he experiences cannot be squared with logic. It's not a theory in a book, or a whisper he can dismiss as wind in the pipes. It's a direct, personal encounter with the impossible. Overwhelmed, Joey bolts from the cubicle, leaving his once certain worldview behind on the cold bathroom floor. Joey's reaction is natural and human. He flees. The sanctuary of reason has collapsed, leaving him naked before a reality he never thought possible. This is not how he envisioned his afternoon. He thought he'd spend it reading, maybe debating a point or two with Raoul, eventually heading home with a head full of structured arguments. Instead, he carries a memory that no logical explanation can erase. How does one recover from such an encounter? For Joey, perhaps the days and weeks following will be haunted by that vision. He may try to rationalize it, attributing it to stress, a trick of the light, or a latent mental imbalance. Or maybe he will become more humble, more cautious when dismissing the beliefs of others. The story doesn't tell us what happens afterward, leaving that to our imagination. To understand this story fully, we must consider the cultural soil from which it sprang. The Philippines is a nation with deep spiritual roots, influenced by a tapestry of indigenous beliefs, Catholic traditions, and assorted superstitions. Even as urbanization and modernization spread, old stories linger. Spirits, or multi, are common figures in folklore. They dwell in old houses and balets and corners of schools and universities. Many Filipinos grow up hearing tales of ghosts and supernatural beings. Some believe earnestly, others treat it as cultural color. But the stories persist, passed from one generation of students to the next, like heirlooms of fear. Vinzon's Hall, as a focal point of student activities, is precisely the type of place where rumors take root. The hallways have witnessed countless emotions: anxiety before exams, grief over personal losses, anger at social injustices, and the quiet determination of young dreamers.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
In such emotionally charged spaces, it is not surprising that legends of restless spirits arise. The ghost of a co-ed who took her own life becomes a symbol, a reminder that despair can hide behind scholarly pursuits, that tragedy can strike, even in places dedicated to learning and growth. From a psychological standpoint, Joey's experience represents a confrontation with the unknown that rattles the foundations of belief. Cognitive dissonance occurs when we encounter information that contradicts our core convictions. Joey's worldview, predicated on logic and skepticism, is violently challenged by a direct encounter with something supernatural. This is not an academic debate he can easily refute. It's experiential. One cannot simply footnote a ghost. Philosophically, his encounter raises perennial questions. What is reality if not what we can see, touch, and measure? Does the universe hold layers beyond our understanding, layers we dismiss at our peril? Philosophers have long acknowledged the limits of human knowledge. Kierkegaard wrote of the leap of faith, while Camus spoke of the absurd. For Joey, previously enamored of Nietzsche's and Engels' rational frameworks, this incident might open doors to metaphysical contemplations he once scoffed at. His intellectual pride has met its match. Joel P. Salud's narrative skillfully builds tension before the final revelation. By grounding the story in a well-known everyday setting, the shock of the supernatural encounter is amplified. The introduction of a sound, a subtle unexplained whisper, foreshadows the horror to come. Suspense arises from the gradual dismantling of Joey's defenses, leading the reader along step by step. The description of the ghost is especially vivid and unsettling. Rather than a vague shape, the apparition's features are painfully human, marked by the violence of her end. Horror often thrives in the gap between empathy and terror. We see a tragic figure, a young girl who died too soon, now trapped in a liminal state. The moment when her gaze meets Joey's is crucial. It's not just a scary image, but a point of forced recognition. This is not a figment. This is a presence, and it is aware of him. Updilliman is not just an intellectual hub, it's a historical landmark. Over the decades, it has been a hotbed of political activism. Students have protested martial law, fought for human rights, championed academic freedom, and forged identities in tumultuous socio-political climates. The campus is layered with memory, some joyous, some heartbreaking. While the story doesn't explicitly tie the ghost to political struggles, the environment of passionate discourse and strong emotions might serve as a backdrop, infusing the air with an intangible energy. Buildings like Vinzon's Hall, which bear the names of national heroes, invite us to remember sacrifices and ideals. Wenceslao Vinzon's was executed during WRP, a victim of occupation forces. His name evokes struggle and sacrifice. Against this historical backdrop, the personal tragedy of a student's suicide and the ghost that results speaks to the private sorrows overshadowed by grand narratives. Wenceslao Vinzons was executed during the war against violence. Death knows no hierarchy, and grief can find a home even in the most hallowed halls. The Philippines, like many nations, wrestles with the tension between modern scientific rationalism and older spiritual or animistic beliefs. Joey embodies the modern Filipino intellectual who rejects superstition. The ghost, on the other hand, represents the stubborn persistence of older beliefs. Remnants that refuse to die just because we've chosen to stop believing in them. Even the servants, who will walk the whole way through the house, meandering to find their own opposite room. This tension is mirrored in the broader culture, where faith healers still operate alongside medical doctors, where some families consult fortune tellers, while others rely solely on reason and evidence. The story suggests that no amount of education can fully shield one from the mysteries of existence. It is a humbling notion. If ghosts are metaphors for the unknown, then Joey's encounter symbolizes the limits of intellectual hubris. Sometimes, knowledge is not enough. Sometimes, there are experiences that defy explanation and demand an acknowledgement of our ignorance. Visions in Vinzon's Hall can be read simply as a ghost story designed to scare and entertain. But it also functions as a parable about the fragility of belief systems. Joey's journey from confident skeptic to shaken witness exemplifies what happens when one's mental maps fail to chart the territory. It challenges the reader to consider their own openness to the unexplained. Are we too quick to dismiss possibilities because they do not fit neatly into our worldview? The story's brevity is part of its strength. It doesn't overstay its welcome or burden the reader with unnecessary details. Instead, it focuses on a single event that encapsulates a fundamental clash between reason and the uncanny. In that sense, it's a distilled moment of human experience, like a photograph capturing the exact second lightning strikes. If we compare this tale to others in the True Philippine Ghost Story series, we find that many revolve around believers encountering the supernatural. Visions at Vincent's Hall stands out by centering on a skeptic who is forced to reconsider everything. It's a meta-narrative that anticipates reader skepticism and uses it as fuel. By identifying with Joey's rational mindset at the start, the audience experiences the encounter vicariously, and the shock becomes more visceral. Ghost stories often function as emotional echoes of unresolved trauma, guilt, or sorrow. They exist to remind us that death isn't always a clean break. People leave behind unfinished stories, secrets locked in diaries and dreams unfulfilled. A student who commits suicide on campus might leave behind questions that no one can answer. Why did she do it? Was she crying out for help that never came? Did she wander those halls, invisible and unheard, before deciding that life held no more meaning? Such ghosts, if they exist, might linger in places tied to their despair, becoming guardians of unspoken pain. When Joey encounters this apparition, he's not just seeing a spirit, he's facing the raw residue of human suffering. A reminder that the intellect cannot solve every problem or redeem every tragedy. The Philippines is predominantly Catholic, and many Filipinos navigate a complex blend of Christianity and older spiritual traditions. Suicide, in Catholic teaching, is a grave matter, and souls that depart in despair are often imagined as restless. Ghost stories feed on these theological uncertainties. Joey's intellectualism likely includes secularism, which is at odds with both Catholic and indigenous spiritual frames of understanding. His encounter, then, occurs in a space where multiple worldviews collide, rational secularism, religious belief, and folklore. Does the ghost need Joey to understand something, to empathize? Or is it an impartial phenomenon, something that simply exists without purpose? The text provides no final answers. It leaves the interpretation open, mirroring how real-life encounters with the inexplicable rarely come with neat conclusions. While the story is set in the Philippines, the theme is universal. Universities worldwide share ghost stories. Dormitory apparitions, library phantoms, and spectral figures wandering lecture halls at twilight. There seems to be something about places of learning, where youthful energy meets old traditions, that fosters an atmosphere of legends thrive. Students come and go, but the buildings remain, collecting their stories, like a grand archive of human experience. In that sense, Visions at Vincennes Hall is not isolated. It's part of a larger tradition of academic hauntings, the spiritual counterpart to the intellectual pursuits that define university life. Knowledge and mystery dance a perpetual waltz. For every question we answer, a new one arises in the shadows. Fear arises when we confront something that threatens our understanding or our safety. Joey's terror springs not only from seeing a ghost, but from the collapse of his worldview. Seeing a phantom in broad daylight, in a familiar and rational place, injects a sense of betrayal. Reality itself betrays him, revealing layers he did not know existed. Fear, then, is both existential and immediate. It's not just what is a thing. But also, if this is possible, what else have I been wrong about? This double shock of encountering the supernatural and having one's rational framework shattered intensifies the horror. It's the difference between being startled by a sudden noise and realizing that the universe doesn't operate by your rules. The latter cuts deeper and lasts longer. The Philippines, with its history of colonization, liberation, and national identity formation, is a country in constant conversation with its past. Ghost stories become metaphors for unresolved historical tensions. While this specific tale doesn't explicitly reference colonial history or political struggles, the setting cannot be separated from its national context. Updilliman students have fought ideological battles across the decades. The campus ground has absorbed tears and blood, witnessed victories and defeats. Could the ghost be part of a grander tradition of restless memories lurking in the background? In a metaphorical sense, ghosts represent all that is unresolved, whether personal or collective. Joey's encounter forces him to acknowledge that not all truths are found in books. Some truths linger in silence, in rumor, in the inexplicable encounter between the living and the dead. One can imagine Joey in the aftermath. Does he tell anyone what he saw? Confiding in Raoul might yield sympathy or ridicule. Admitting the truth to professors or classmates might damage his carefully curated reputation as a rational thinker. Perhaps he keeps it to himself, letting the memory simmer. Eventually, maybe he becomes more tolerant of other perspectives, more open to mysteries. Or he might double down on skepticism, labeling it a hallucination caused by stress, and try to forget. But once you've seen something that should not be, forgetting is not so easy. The image of that hanging girl, her plea carved into every line of her twisted features, will be imprinted on his mind's eye forever. He can bury it, rationalize it, argue against it, but it will remain a quiet reminder that the universe is not obliged to match our understanding. As with all ghost stories in this series, Visions at Vincennes Hall serves multiple functions. It entertains, it frightens, and it provokes thought. It earns a high rating not just because it scares the reader, but because it challenges the intellect. It's a ghost story for those who think they are immune to ghost stories. By withholding closure, it invites us to supply our own interpretations. This open-endedness is precisely what lingers in the mind long after we've finished reading, or in our case, listening. As I rate it, I give it 4.5 out of 5 stars for the skillful interplay of setting, character, and cultural resonance. Its strength lies in that fundamental clash. Rational pride meets the impossible. As we draw this extended exploration to a close, consider how you would react in Joey's place. Would you tell yourself it never happened? Would you investigate further, seeking others who might have seen something similar? Would you question your understanding of the world? Encounters with the unknown often leave us at a crossroads, forced to choose between comforting illusions and unsettling possibilities. In our next episode, we will delve into another chilling tale from the True Philippine Ghost Story series, My Curse, as told to Jerry Baranuevo. If today's narrative has taught us anything, it's that the boundaries of our knowledge are elastic, and when we stretch them, the darkness sometimes peers back. For now, remember this. Skepticism is a fine tool, but it can also be a blindfold. There are truths that logic alone can't cage. Sometimes the line between what we think we know and what truly is can be alarmingly thin. Keep your mind open, but tread carefully, for when we enter the realm of the unknown, we might not emerge the same. Thank you for listening to the True Philippine Ghost Stories podcast. If you have thoughts, stories, or reflections on what you've heard, feel free to share them. Until next time, sleep well, and try not to think too hard about what might be watching from the corners of your room after you turn out the lights. In a world as old and layered as ours, who's to say what can manifest in the silence?
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.